Samson went down because of his own sin. Pastor Steve Mays says, we can too when we take our eyes off the Lord.
You look at Samson and you say, how could he walk away from God? And you say to yourself, how can this brother walk away from God? And you say, how can this pastor walk away from God? Or how can this woman walk away from God? I'll tell you how. You break one vow at a time. You break one commandment at a time. And you do things and you are places you ought not to be. You shouldn't be on the internet, but you're there. And that's the danger.
Samson went down. These are the words we find several times in the 14th chapter of Judges. And each time it describes how he went step by step deeper into sin and further away from God. And like Samson, our trek into deep sin usually happens one step at a time. What can we learn from Samson's life that might keep us on an upward trend? Well, let's find out. Here's Pastor Steve.
Well, shall we turn in our Bibles to Judges chapter 14, verses 1 through 20? And we want to title it, Lust at First Sight. Lust at First Sight. So you kind of know where I'm going to go. So if you've had a problem this week with lusting, you're going to be in serious trouble tonight. The book of Judges, I really had a difficult time getting started. And I thought, Lord, there's nothing in this book. Well, I have repented, and there's all kinds of sin, and there's all kinds of rebellion, and it's been a good thing constantly to keep it before my face of the power of sin and the power of the Holy Ghost. And that God blesses and God anoints, but we have a choice. And I want to talk to you tonight about choices, because it's your choice how you want to live your life. And according to Hebrews, you remember in 11:32, Samson was a man of faith. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time should fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jethro, David, also Samuel, the prophet. And though he was a man of faith, he was not a faithful man. And that's important that you would understand. There were moments in his life that he had tremendous faith, and he did great exploits for God. But when it came to his commitment to God, and his commitment to his parents, and his commitment to the people, he was not faithful. And I think that's a revelation in our lives tonight, that it's possible to have the gift of God, to be inspired by God, to even have certain giftings and talents, and not be faithful to God. And the Bible says that his gifts are without repentance. And so we find that Samson wasn't faithful to the vows that he made before God. He broke every one of them. And he was not faithful as a son because he would not listen to his mom and dad. He was rebellious. And he wasn't even faithful with the people that God placed over him or around him to lead them and to guide them. He never did anything with anybody at all. It was all Samson. There were no armies. There were no one going with him. He went everywhere by himself. And even when it came to this marriage, we're going to find that he didn't even have a best friend. He had to take 30 of the Philistines to stand in for the wedding. It's a tragic story. And really, whatever success Samson had, whatever greatness he had, was because in chapter 13, look it with me, in verse 24 and 25. And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and underline, the Lord blessed him. There's the key. The Lord blessed him. And then in verse 25, the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at that time in the camp of Dan. And so two things are said in verse 24. Number one, the Lord blessed him. And number two, the Spirit of the Lord began to move. So anything that you read about the greatness of Samson was the work of the Holy Spirit. Everything that you read about how his carnality dominated his life and wasted his life was given because of his own selfish desires. And so I believe oftentimes we take way too much credit. We think that we have done this, or we're able to do this, or we have put this together, or we have built this church, or we're doing something right. I think what's happening here is just simply a sovereign work of God. And God very simply could take and go down the street and do it again and decide that we would not grow. So to say that we're growing because of this or we're growing because of that is not true. God is blessing because of the Spirit of the living God. And we cannot take any credit for our marriage, for our single lives, for our work, whatever we do. We need to learn to give glory to God. And you're going to find something very fascinating that I've never seen before tonight. You're going to see why the Holy Spirit came upon him in power. And I believe it was not for any other reason but to save his life and to keep him in the calling and to bring him back to God, because this man was out of control. And so in the moments when the Spirit of God came upon him, they were the worst moments of his life. And I think that that's kind of interesting of the grace of God. That if all of a sudden I begin to go down this road and I'm having a horrible time and I'm falling apart, don't be surprised if God one day just comes and fills you with the power of the Holy Spirit and he rescues you and brings you back because God's not done with you and because God has a purpose in your life and because God's not going to give up on you. But it takes the power of God to get your attention. And every moment we find the Spirit coming upon this man, it was to bring him back to where he is. And yet, in this horrible disobedience, God used it. And you're going to find something very unique, what goes on in your life. How can all of a sudden I be so wrong and things be right? And how can I be so right and things go wrong? You're going to see how the Spirit of God is able to make even my mistakes be used for the glory of God. So Pilate was able to say, I don't know this man. I wash my hands of Jesus Christ. He didn't stop the determined counsel of God. God gave him a chance to be great. He chose not to be great, but it didn't hinder the work of God. So no matter what I do, it's not going to hinder the work of God. God will raise somebody up, or I'll be able to go out. But God's work is going to continue. And so it's God that did the work. Now, between chapters 13 and 14, 20 years have taken place. So he was a child in chapter 13. Now we're going to see him about 20, 21 years old. And between chapters 13 and 14, the very first step he takes as a man, the very first act that he does, and the tragic thing is it's downward. And this is the book, especially chapter 14. I want you to take a look at verse 1. He went down. And then notice in verse 5, he went down. And then in verse 7, he went down. And then in verse 10, he went down. And then in verse 19, he went what? Down. The very first step he took as a man was down. All the raising that he had as a child, all the education that his mom and dad did, everything that prepared him for this moment, he chose to walk away from it. And so you're going to see that this chapter, his light begins to flicker, and then next week his light goes out. And it's a tragic story, but once again, it's kind of exciting. I think it's a wonderful chapter. As we look at verses 1 through 4, down to Timothy. And so he's down, going down. The very first word, Samson, went down. And boy, what a testimony of his life. And when I walk away from God, I begin to do my own things. Like Jonah, he went down. He went down to Tarshish. He went down to the ship. He went down to the bottom of the ship. He went down to the belly of the well. He went down to the bottom of the ocean. In other words, that man was going down because he turned on God. And Samson went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath, the daughter of the Philistines. And so the tribe of Dan was next to this city of the Philistines. And there's the problem, oftentimes, that we get too close to sin. Dan was a wicked tribe of the children of Israel. And they lived next to the Philistines, and oftentimes we begin to mingle, or we begin to look and see what the Philistines have. We see the worship that we do, it's kind of this way, and we see the worship that they do, it's mingled with orgies and everything else, and it looks so much more exciting. We see this one that we have, this God, that we have the Word of God and the oracles of God, and over here they can do everything they want. Over here, there's really no rules, and here, there is God leading. And so we find that when you begin to live close to evil, oftentimes you mingle with it. And that's the danger of mixed relationships. And Jesus said, once again, don't be unequally yoked, and the danger of worshiping other gods. And Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? In other words, there's none. But notice in verse 1, it says that he saw. In other words, he's looking. He's not only in the wrong country. He's not in Israel. He's in the area of the Philistine country, which he was the judge of all of Israel. He had no business being here. Now he's checking out the babes, looking at the women. He's looking at the possibility of marrying one of these women. So right off the bat, he is breaking the vow of the Nazarite. He is now beginning to mingle himself. He's not being separate. He is now in a place he shouldn't be. He's looking at things he shouldn't be looking at. Does that sound like us? In other words, why are you here? And what are you doing? And sometimes we end up in parties, and sometimes we end up in movies, and sometimes we end up where we ought not to be. And we are taking a downward step, and that's what needs to register in your mind. When all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says to you, what are you doing here? That means you have walked off of the course. You're no longer walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is putting that check within your heart. And once again, he's no longer living by faith. He's living by sight. And then in verse 2, and he came up and told his father and his mother. And that's interesting to me. He came up. In other words, when he was away from his mom and dad, he went down. When he came back to this couple who were righteous before God, he came up. And that's all he did, up and down, up and down. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah, a daughter of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me. Would you underline that? Go out and get her for me. So he doesn't say anything to his dad, but, hey, you go and get her for me. And I imagine at that moment, Samson's parents were brokenhearted. Samson, are you sure? Do you understand what you're about ready to do? Don't you know that we raised you this way? Don't you remember we told you that the angel of God himself came and said that this is going to be a child and that your mother had to sanctify herself and purify herself and she had to take this vow and we had to make a covenant before God that we could never, ever cut your hair for the rest of your life. No raisins or grapes or wine would ever be given to you and you would never be able to mess around with anything that's dead. We have done that for you. And then we have seen God's hand upon your life and the goodness of God and the power of God. What are you doing, son? And all of a sudden, we begin to realize choice. He did not want what his parents had. He did not want what God wanted for him. His mind was set in these women and doing what he wanted to do. And what happened is he, in his mind, knew that he was special, knew that he had power, knew that there was something different about him. And in his mind, he thought that gave him a license to live any way he wanted. And what is so sad is that because God didn't deal with him, he interpreted that it was okay. But it wasn't okay. He was going to pay a price. And what he should have said is the reason that God isn't judging me is he's given me a chance to repent. But if I won't repent, God's going to deal in my life. And that's what happened in a very sad way. And Samson, how could you do this? It broke his mom and dad's heart. To honor God, to walk away from everything you are. And then what was his counsel? Listen, get her right now. And the revelation of his heart is so important to realize. In other words, he didn't want to submit to authority. He didn't want the authority of God, did not want the authority of his parents, did not want anyone telling him what to do. And that's what happens when people walk away from God. That's what happens when your children walk away from God. What they are saying, very simply, is they do not want your God, nor do they want the authority over their life. And so he rejected his parents, he rejected his God, and he had no heart. Now that's key. He had no heart to listen to their counsel. And then in verse 3, then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among my people, that thou goest to take a wife of an uncircumcised Philistine? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me. Dad, don't mess around. Why? She pleases me. In other words, every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. In other words, it feels good. Dad, she's great looking. Grab her as quick as you can. Now, he hasn't even talked to her. He just saw her. So he is basically saying to Dad and Mom, go down and work this deal out because I want this girl in my life. And his father, in verse 4, said, and his mother, know not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had domain over Israel. Now, don't misunderstand what he's saying. It's not saying that Samson was in the will of God. It is saying that Samson was out of the will of God, but even though he was out of the will of God, God was not going to lose Samson. So even though he was doing evil, God was going to turn the table and use even the evil that Samson was doing for the glory of God. It says even evil is going to praise God. So that's that interesting thing of all of a sudden I'm doing so bad and God begins to bless me. So I guess I'm okay. Not at all. It is God sending a message that he's alive and well and he wants to turn you around. Not that he's endorsing what you're doing. And I believe that many people are going down this road thinking that it's okay to live in sin because, hey, we're sleeping together. Hey, my parents gave us a new car. God's blessing us. And we're sleeping together and, you know, the bank just decided to pay off our bills. Well, you need to remember Satan can also provide. And you understand that according to God's word, he is now in total violation. He has no business being in the Philistines. He has no business looking at this woman. And all of a sudden, he's doing everything he really shouldn't do. And so it says in verse 4, he knew not. In other words, right and wrong blended. Very confusing. But the wicked choice, Pilate made that wicked choice, and God used it anyway. And God is going to work and plan to help him. And God's going to destroy the enemy. God's going to break the Philistines. And God's going to get the glory once again. And God is going to use this to do a work. And from this moment on, we find Samson killing 30 men. And then we find him catching 300 jackals or foxes together, tying their tails together and putting torches in and torching the fields of the Philistines. And then we find him killing 1,000 men with a jawbone of an ass, and we'll see that next week. But God is able to use even this rebellion once again for his glory. So God never allowed it. The marriage never happened. It says in verse 16 that they were married, but they were going through the process of getting married, not like today. In other words, they had no sex, they had nothing, they had to wait for 7 days and then they could have sex. And it's interesting that God killed, or this woman, his bride-to-be, was killed, and so God did not allow the wedding to go through, which tells me that if Samson would have married this gal, the calling of God would have been off in his life. In other words, God could not afford to do this. So things happen in Samson's life that really hurt him. But God had a call upon his life. And I want to challenge you tonight that when you are getting so rebellious with God, you're fighting against God. And God is going to work and turn and change, and you're going to find yourself butting into walls constantly, and things are going to fall apart in your life, and God's going to do things, and you're going to be so, what in the world's going on? In other words, what happened here is Samson got so mad, he went back and lived with his mom and dad. That's a good thing. So God saved him, because God had a work to do. But Samson got himself in a mess. So in verses 1 through 4, basically, he went down to a wrong place to live. And then in verse 5 and 6, he went down to a vineyard. He didn't learn his lesson. He's in not only in the wrong place, but he's in the wrong area. In verse 5, then went Samson down. Again, underline the word down. And his father and his mother to Timnath. And came to a vineyard, underline vineyard. And Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. Now, number one, why was the lion there? And number two, as a Nazirite who made the vow was you are never to drink wine, you are never to eat raisins, and you are never to have grapes. So why in the world is he walking among the wine area or the vineyards? In other words, that's like taking a guy who has lust and say, hey, let's go over to Hugh Hefner's house and see what's going on. I mean, why would you do that? In other words, he is now tempting. He is now flirting. He is now playing. Now listen to me. This is what happens. I can handle it. I can walk down this vineyard. I'm not going to touch a grape. What are you doing there? In other words, you've already violated the very vow that is in your heart that you're there. In other words, you're going to go down. He was there. He shouldn't be. So what did God do? He sent a lion. And what's kind of interesting is I find when we are disobedient and out of God's will, Satan beats you to death. Satan comes after those who are disobedient. And the more disobedient you are, the louder his roar becomes. And God wanted to turn this man away from the vineyard. What are you doing there? And to me, that tells me there's a roadblock. Something's happening that stops you dead in your track. Something tells you you better not do that. Something stops you and you can't jump over it. And God has these lions all over the place warning us and stopping us and checking our hearts. But oftentimes we don't listen. And so all of a sudden there was a lion and he was to, you remember, be separated, but he's now hanging out in the vineyard. And once again, he begins to break one of these vows each time. And so you look at Samson and you say, how could he walk away from God? And you say to yourself, how can this brother walk away from God? And you say, how can this pastor walk away from God? Or how can this woman walk away from God? I'll tell you how. You break one vow at a time. You break one commandment at a time. You go and you play here, and then you play here, and you play there, and you do things, and you are places you ought not to be. You shouldn't be on the internet. You shouldn't be there, but you're there. And that's the danger. Because in your heart, you are defying God. You are saying, listen, I know what you want, but I'm not going to give it to you. I appreciate how you want to bless me, but I'm not going to go any further. And God sends roadblocks and God brings lions. And all of a sudden, Samson is in the wrong place. He's at the wrong people. Everything's wrong within his life. And the young lion roars and God has given him plenty of opportunities. And I think that roar is saying, what are you doing in this Philistine country? And what are you doing with that woman? And what are you doing in the vineyard? And Satan begins to roar. And then we see once again, his father and mother went down with him. And verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. I think it had to protect him so he wouldn't get killed by this lion. The Spirit of God came upon him. He ripped it as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hands, but he told not his father or his mother what he did. Now listen, why didn't he tell his mom and dad? Because mom and dad would say, what are you doing down with the Philistines? And then mom and dad would say, what are you doing looking at that woman? And then mom and dad would say, what are you doing in the vineyard? So you don't say nothing to people. And so we begin to live a secret life. We begin to have secret things. We begin to have double standards because we can't afford for anybody to know what really is going on. And this became a very private, sinful moment in his life. He couldn't look in his mom and dad's eyes and say to them, I am violating God. In other words, he couldn't do it. And then when he went back a second time, he couldn't tell them a second time. And you know that the lion is unclean. So he had no possibility, and this is so cool, he had no possibility to get out of it. He had to deal with it because the lion was coming. He was in the wrong place. He had to deal with the sin. He was now unclean because he touched the lion. But then we're going to find in just a few moments, he went back a second time to look at what he did. He didn't have to do that. And there are moments in my life I make mistakes and God deals in my life and there's no way out of it but for me to get involved and get out of it. But to go back and do it again is rebellion. And that's what he did. And the Spirit of the Lord, and I see it in my life today, the Spirit of God came upon him to deliver him. Not to rip the lion apart, but to deliver him. And it's like, if I could do a movie, oh, Samson's in trouble. The lion's coming. I sent the lion to scare him, but now he wants to tackle him. We better save him, because if he dies, we're not going to be able to use this guy. And God just graciously protects him. Now, has God ever done that for you? And what does God get? Nothing. We go out bragging. Did you see what I did? See how tough I am? I'm tough. I'm one tough puppy. Say, I ripped the lion apart. Hey, why did you rip it apart? That's not important. Yes, what were you doing in vineyard? That's not important. I ripped this lion apart. Who helped you? I did it. No, God did it. Because you were in sin. You were in the wrong place. And what are you doing messing with lions anyway? You see, we're not honest. All we do is boast about how powerful we are. It was God's grace that got you out of it. And because of the lack of humility, guess what? You haven't learned your lesson. And here he says, here, and he told not his mom and dad. Notice in verse 6, did not tell them. Notice in verse 9, did not tell them. And then in verses 7 through 9, he went down to talk to this gal. This guy's going down. The wrong person for God. And he went down and talked with the woman. Now he's going to say, would you marry me? And she pleased Samson well. Okay, great. He went down. He went down to invite her to marry him, and he went down like Jonah. After a time, he returned to take her. Now, underline, he turned aside. This is so sad. To see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bee and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, this is what really is sad. First of all, God got him out of that problem. But he was constantly thinking about the power that came upon him and about what he did. So there's no doubt every night, every morning, every waking hour, he's thinking about going back. You see, the sin is drawing him back. He has to see. In other words, he can't walk away from it. He has to go back. There's this tremendous pull going back towards evil. Satan is pushing him. Go back and look at this dead animal. A Nazirite is not to have anything to do with an animal. Don't go back into the vineyard. God got you out of the vineyard. I got to go back. I got to see. I got to do it. And there's this tremendous pull in your life. You got to go to the internet. You got to push one more button. You got to look at one more picture. Bam, they got you. I got to take that one little joint. There's one more little hit. There's one more little drink. They got you. And you shouldn't even be there. But the power in your mind, I got to go back. And God needs to cleanse your mind, and God needs to cleanse your heart. And you need to understand that is wickedness and forbidden by God. That is rebellion. That is satanic. You don't want to go back there. I want to go back there. Because I took out a lion. Because I am God's man. And so we read in verse 8, he turned and went back aside, and he was disobedient, and he defiled himself. And the first time, he had to fight the lion. The second time, it was his own choice. And he went back to the sinfulness of his own life. He went back to the cleanness. He went back to the path of sin. He chose to go back and see. In other words, I got to have it. I got to see it. I got to touch it. And that's what happens when you begin to get in sin. I got to touch it. I got to see it. I got to have it. God isn't doing anything for me. The Holy Spirit isn't real. Jesus Christ isn't coming, but I can see sin, I can touch it, I can grab it, I can have it. And then there is honey. The sweetest thing inside the deadness, and this is so sad, it says here in verse 9, and he took therefore his hand, and he went and thrust his hand into the wickedness of sin. He's going deeper in sin. He had to kill a lion. Now he puts his hand inside of a filthy, dead carcass, and takes out the honey, and he has defiled himself. What a tragic thing. You see, sin is that sweetness, but it kills you. It defiles you. And it says here that he violated his vow. He touched it. But he told them not, so he didn't tell them. And then in verses 10 through 18, he went down to a feast. This was going to be his feast. And he was with the wrong friends. In verse 10, so his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. And the word feast here in the Hebrew is a party. It was a Philistine party that was drinking, and no doubt he was drinking. And there was all kinds of things going on, a 7-day drunken party. For they used the young man to do. In other words, he didn't have any friends. He had to have his own people around him. He went down to the woman. And once again, it's a tragic thing what's happening in his life. And the young man, they picked him out. In other words, the Philistines are now standing by his side. What a tragic thing. He's with the wrong woman in the wrong place. He's been given 30 guys that he doesn't even know. These are going to be your friends. And he came to pass, when they saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. In other words, they picked out his friends, and that's what happens every time in the world. And then verse 12, and Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. This is the one we know so well. If ye can certainly declare it with me 7 days before 7 days of the feast, find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if you cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle unto me, so we can hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth the meat, and out of the strong came forth the sweet. And they could not in 3 days explain the riddle. Well, if they were in their right mind, they'd possibly be able to do it. In other words, they were looking for an eater. They were looking for something that would eat. And what was the most fierce thing that they had that could eat? It was a lion. And then they were looking for something sweet. And what is the sweetest thing that they had in the nation of Israel? It was honey. So if they weren't drunk, there'd be a good possibility, but they couldn't figure it out. And verse 15, and it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband that he might declare. Now, the word wife does not mean legally married. It means that they were in the process of getting married. But once again, that they may declare unto the riddle. And the reason why, if you don't, we're going to burn you and your father's house. These are nice guys, good best men. Had ye called to take that we have it. In other words, we're going to burn you, we're going to destroy you. Verse 16. And Samson's wife wept before him. And here is an incredible thing. And said, thou dost hate me, and loveth me not. So this is a woman thing, kind of. All of a sudden, she's now pouring it on. This is that gift that they have, the ability, once again, to kind of blackmail you. You know, hey, if you love me, you do it. How can you do it? On and on and on. And Samson just couldn't handle it. And all of a sudden, thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and thou hast told it unto me, and said unto her, behold, I have not told it unto my father, nor my mother, and shall I tell it to you? And she wept before him 7 days. This will be the happiest days of their life. She's one weeping bride, 7 days weeping while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she laid scorn upon him. And she was throwing herself on him, weeping, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. So all of a sudden, we find this horrible, almost marriage. Two people that can't talk. Two people that are playing games. Two people that are lying to each other. There's no spirituality whatsoever in it. And this is what happens when I go down this road. And then in verse 18, and the man of the city said unto him, on the seventh day before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said, this is one of the great verses, and he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer. In other words, you know, he calls his wife a heifer. If you would not have been messing with my heifer, you wouldn't have got this. Now, kind of interesting, I got into this. It means if you had not been sleeping with her. So, she didn't tell Samson that her life was threatened and they were going to kill her and kill mom and dad, so there's no communication there. And he assumed that she had been sleeping with them, so there was no communication there at all. And then lastly, in 19 through 20, I'll wrap it up, down in anger, or down a tremendous thing. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He went down because he was mad. In other words, things were falling apart. And he slew 30 men of them, took their spoils, gave change of garments unto them, which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. In other words, he was out of control. Nothing's gone right. He's angry, he's killing people, he's throwing these bloody garments at these people, he wants to kill a bunch of people, and finally he ends up at his father's house. That's where you want to go tonight. Whatever it takes to get you to the Father's house. Whatever it takes to have you understand that everything that's happening to your whole life is to get you to the Father's house. All the disappointments, all the agony, all the times that we've been caught in doing certain things, or we've been busted, or people have been after our case, or we've been fired, or we've been moved around here, is all to get you to the Father's house. Now, God has a plan. Believe it or not, He has a plan for your life. And left to yourself, we're going to blow it. God sends the Spirit to rescue us out of the hands of the enemy, so we might be able to do the work that God wants us to do. This man, God had his hands full. And the tragic story is that he never really did anything for God. Everything he did, God had to save him. And so at the very end of his life is wasted. In other words, instead of him and God fighting together, he was fighting God the whole way. And sometimes we think we're fighting for God, but in reality, we're really fighting against God. And sometimes we say, God, you don't really care. And all you do is take things away from me. But in reality, it's God protecting you and God loving you. So in my mind, when I see this tremendous fish going after Jonah, I can write over the top of Jonah, great has been my rebellion, but greater still thy faithfulness. And so to me, this incredible fish that rescued Jonah from the storm, they threw him over the side of the ship, but God was there to catch him because God had a work to do in Jonah's life. Now, it didn't bother God, but I'll tell you what, Jonah paid the price. And God doesn't mind wrestling with you, and God doesn't mind listening to you, and God doesn't mind fighting with you, but there comes a time that all of the energy that God gave you to use to be a leader, you're using to justify and work, and it's just hard being a Christian. And if it's hard being a Christian, it's because you're not doing what God wants you to do. He's asked you to pray, you won't pray. He's asked you to stay in the Word, don't want to be in the Word. He's asked you to get involved, don't want to get involved. But I want to go here, and I want to do this, and we see everybody doing that which is right in their own eyes. Well, I believe the Bible says that God called you and God predestined you and God made you to be to the praise of His glory. So the first thing you should do is, Lord, what is Your will? Sanctify me spiritually, soul, and body. In other words, show me what You want me to do. And then He says in verse 19, He went down, and then in verse 20, and Samson's wife was given to his best man, whom he had used as a friend. And it goes on to say that they were killed, and the whole thing ended up, and we find in a very simple way. And I think for me, the application is that sometimes you can raise your children in a godly way. And sometimes you can do leadership in a very godly way. But they have to make a choice. And sometimes kids, and sometimes leaders, and sometimes pastors, they love sin more. And sin entices them. And sin draws them. And sin is calling them. And though they know what is right, they do not want to listen no more. Because in their mind, they know what's right. And they are so far from God, it's unbelievable. And just the fact that Samson would go back and look at the sin and reach his hand inside of that sin and then boast about his own strength, he was mocking God. And then I want to end by saying this, the riddle. You think, wow, that's a great riddle. Let me tell you about this riddle, how I see it. This riddle is a very open revelation of his heart. First of all, what he did in that vineyard was sinful. What he did was disobedient. What he did was unheard of. He violated the Nazarene vow, broke the very thing that God wanted, caused all of this thing to happen on him, and now he has the audacity to stand before people and make it a riddle. He didn't care about his sin. And when all of a sudden you gloat in the things you're doing, or boast in the things you're doing, and you make riddles, that's not what God wants. That riddle should have never been said, because that was a very shameful moment in his life. But he turned it and used it and boasted. And he mocked God. And he mocked his parents. And he mocked the call of God upon his life. And he went down. So that's what happens. Well, Steve, how did this happen? How did I get here? You violate this. Didn't turn here. You misread God here. You didn't pay attention here. You took advantage here. You didn't understand what the Holy Spirit was doing here, and all of a sudden you end up here and seeing the sweetness, and you're playing with this perverse, dead carcass full of maggots. And you're reaching a hand in and saying, "Man, this is so cool." But you can't tell your mom, and you can't tell your dad, and you can't tell nobody else, because it's that wicked.